Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so let's get into this idea of talking about fasting. I want to talk about fasting for a breakthrough. We're right in starting our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I pray you'll join us. And when it comes to the praying part and the scripture part, we've got a daily focus for you to pray through. But when it comes to the fasting part, we're kind of leaving that up to you to decide when and how you can fast or how long you can fast. If somebody wants to fast for the whole 21 days, it probably wouldn't kill you. Probably wouldn't kill me. So that's nobody laughed or nothing, did they? Everybody's like, "Whew, Lord Jesus, that's a lot." So, but if you want to fast a meal a day, two or three days, however long you want to work it out, we'll let you and the Holy Spirit work that out how you need to. So I want to just kind of give you some help with fasting, because in order for us to do it by faith, we've got to understand what we're doing. Let's talk about fasting for a breakthrough. So fasting is a spiritual discipline. It's among all the spiritual disciplines. This is just a handful of them. And really, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads you, anything can pretty much become a spiritual discipline. He's just making us more like Jesus. You got the idea of gathering with the other believers. We call that public worship. Gathering with the saints, that's a spiritual discipline. And as you well know, it probably in your walk, if you're not careful, you can get out of joint with that a little bit, can't you? You can get out of practice with it. Private worship, you need to do that on your own at home, in your car. You know how to turn your car into a sanctuary? Yeah, buddy. That's one of my sanctuaries. When I got something really to do on my mind, poof, I hit a back road and I go. You know, that's my little sanctuary. Scripture, whether it's reading scripture, studying scripture, doing all sorts of things, Bible studies that you may be with other people. It's an important discipline in our life. It needs to be a daily discipline. Prayer. I've got these three highlighted, scripture, prayer, and fasting, because they kind of all go together. Those three kind of dovetail into each other. You also got a spiritual discipline of feasting, which we like that one a little bit better than the fasting, don't we? And God did call his people to feast, you know. They're holy feast that he's given in the Old Testament. He called them to throw a party. At least two of those are real blowout parties, celebrations. And so God wants us to learn to celebrate in all kinds of ways. And it a lot of times it involves a lot of food, a lot of good food. Then there's the idea of silence and solitude, and then there's all kinds of other ideas. But the idea of silence, that's learning to just sit in God's presence and not do anything. That's the idea of solitude, getting alone with God. And, you know, sometimes we get with God and we just chatter, and he can't get a word in edgewise. And we get nervous in those kind of situations. You just got to learn just to cool your jets and just be silent. Sit silent with God, you know. He may have something he needs to say to you. So it's just a good practice to do on a regular basis. And kind of when I do my silence thing and just sitting in solitude, it's hard for me to sit still, to be honest with you. Me and Sandy both were just kind of go running all over the place all the time. So when I sit still with God, oftentimes I have to put myself on a timer. I make myself. I'm going to sit here for 10 minutes. I'm going to sit here for 20 minutes. I'm going to sit here for a half hour. I'm just going to sit here. And I have to put myself on a timer. And I get ready to look, oh gosh, it's only been 3 minutes. And I have to make myself. And you know, that's not a really good thing to say, but I mean, I'm talking about you have to discipline yourself in these things, you know. And there's some days I can do it, and we'd sit on the back porch and the sun's good and everything's good, and we'll just sit there and we'll just enjoy each other's company. And then there's other days I got so much on my mind, I want to go, but I got to make myself. So just some ideas. So let's read James 4, 5 through 10. And you got all these words here, then they're all going to kind of be answered a little bit in fasting. That's why I chose to highlight this particular verse starting off the teaching. James chapter 4, and as you know, James is one of my favorites. We spent probably about 10 or 12, 14 weeks or something like that going through the book of James here earlier in the year. James says this, I'm picking up in the middle of a thought at verse number 5 of chapter 4. He says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. He yearns jealously over us to spend time with us. Just kind of like what I was talking about, just to sit down. That the Holy Spirit is jealous over you and wants some of your time. He wants you. He's jealous over us. And he yearns to be with us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's a word for you, the word humble right there. Therefore, submit to God. It's another idea of humility, isn't it? Resist the devil. Notice the order. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't fight against the enemy if you're not hanging out with God, submitted to him. You know, that's the progression. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. And then whenever I'm doing this, because I do a lot of this stuff just in teaching, just trying to help you with your walk and all that, I always think of how. So how can I be humble? How can I submit to God? How can I draw near to God? There's all these concepts and ideas. How? But how? But how do we do it? We maybe can quote it in Christian language and ease and Christian lingo, but how do you draw near to God? Well, we're talking about fasting is going to be a part of that, right? And if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That ought to make you get excited about that. In other words, you draw close to God and you'll find out he's right there. He's right there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. That's needed in us, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And you'll hear these words, a few of them, over and over as we teach. But fasting is one answer, not the only one, but fasting is one answer to just about all of that right there. Right? Okay. All right. You good? All right. So now let's just go through this real quickly. We could do a whole Bible study just on this, just to make sure we got a good scriptural foundation of it. But this is just some examples. We're part of a rich history of fasting. It's all throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. The idea of fasting is mentioned over 70 times in the Bible. So let me just say this, wording it out, and you'll see the scripture references there in your notes. I won't have time to go over all that. But Jesus fasted. That ought to be enough right there, just to know that we need to do it. He did it. Jesus fasted. Remember the 40 days of fasting in the wilderness as he launched his ministry? Matthew chapter 4, Moses fasted 40 days receiving the law there when he received the Ten Commandments in Exodus 34. Daniel fasted 21 days, Daniel chapter 10, to understand the vision that God had given him. He set himself aside to fast. And the 21-day idea is what our fast is modeled after, that 21 days right there. Esther fasted 3 days, called the whole nation to fast for their deliverance. As remember Haman and the plot that was to kill all the Jews. Esther called a national fast in Esther chapter 4. David fasted in repentance. He got a couple situations where he did that, where it's recorded. Jehoshaphat fasted for guidance before he went to battle. Oh, let me get back to you here. The king of Nineveh. Remember that? It's a really interesting point. This pagan guy. Jonah comes with the message, repent, and he called the whole nation and said, don't even feed your dog. Everybody's fasting. The animals, everybody's fasting. And Nineveh came to repentance in that season of time. Then you got examples of just a whole list here. Time won't permit. Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Anna. Anna, the one who was there at the dedication of Jesus, fasted. Cornelius fasted. Paul fasted. The early church fasted. All sorts of examples. So we got a rich history and a little foundation there. So, excuse me. So what is fasting? What is it? What's the idea? It means to abstain from food and or drink for a predetermined amount of time for the sake of focusing on your relationship with God. All right? And it's to be more than just a ritual, more than just a spiritual practice. It is something that's to provoke us to intimacy with God. And it surrounds this idea of our most basic need of food and water. All right? So to abstain from food. So how many of have I lost you already? Anybody? Everybody all right? Everybody good? All right. The Hebrew word's real interesting right here. It's used, the idea of fasting. It means to cover over the mouth. To cover over the mouth, as if you can't put anything in it if your hand's over your mouth. So that's the idea, to abstain from food. All right? So now, in the Old Testament, Israel was commanded to fast one day a year. So in ancient Israel, there was the only command that they had about fasting. Now, there's fasting all throughout. But the only command they had was on the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur. The nation was called to fast. In fact, if you read your English Bible, it probably won't say the word fast. It'll have the phrase something like this, afflict your souls. You purposefully afflict your souls. It was a day of repentance and a day of atonement. And you can find that in Leviticus 16, 29 and 30. All the other fasting, this was the only day in ancient Israel that fasting was commanded. Other fasts are personal. They're about personal choice. You make a choice to fast, okay? So here again, fasting for us in the New Testament is not a commandment. Like, it's not a thou shalt not or thou shalt, okay? You got to kind of get this. It is a personal choice that you make in order to devote yourself in a special way to God. Or it can be prompted by a leader, kind of what we're doing here. It can be prompted by a leader. You saw some of the kings would prompt the people for whatever purpose and reason, for whatever season they were in. They would prompt the people to fast. And even at that, it was something that you had to do on a personal choice. Now, I can't make you go and fast. I can recommend that we come together and fast. And you got to make a personal choice based on all that, right? That's kind of what we're doing now. Now, there's different types of fast. And I know some of this is technical, but it's all good for a reason and good to know. You can fast from food and water. That's pretty intense fast right there, to fast from food and water. Now, again, if you have medical concerns, consult your doctor about all this kind of thing. Talk to him about it. Sometimes medicines can affect some of this if you're on certain medications. So you can fast from food and water. You can fast from food and only drink water, which is probably the most common way to fast. Or you can fast from food and drink water and or juice. You've heard people go on like a juice fast or something of that nature. Now, there may be physical benefits to all this kind of thing, but we're not talking about the physical benefits of fasting. Although medical science tells us that fasting can bring a lot of healing into your body. It's kind of neat how, even if you do this spiritually, you may can get some physical benefits from it as well. Right? Now, some of the duration of fasting in the scriptures, we kind of covered a little bit of this already. There's 1 day fast, 3 day fast, 7 day fast, 21 day fast, 40 day fast. But you can fast a meal or two meals or something of that nature. Again, there's a lot of freedom in all of this practice. All right? You good? Any questions so far? All right, now this was one of the questions that was proposed to me the last few days. Can you fast from things other than food? Well, biblical fast deals with food, but there are fasts that you can go on that would deal with other things. Like you've heard people say they fast from TV or maybe phone devices and all the social media. Lord, it wouldn't be a bad thing to fast from social media from now until the day Jesus comes. Anywho. So you can fast from certain activities that you may want to just kind of sacrifice before the Lord. You may fast from sweets. You know, people do that kind of thing. And, you know, people from the Catholic tradition, they fast almost most Fridays, right?
Well, they eat fish.
They fast red meat kind of thing. And it's meant to be a fast. But you can eat all the fried fish you want. So it's, and you know, that's why a lot of restaurants, whether you realize it or not, why a lot of restaurants serve fish on Fridays from that reason. It's a Catholic idea. But you can fast from other, anything else anybody has known somebody to fast from at given times and points?
Well, I grew up in a church that did this often, but they would tell you to fast from whatever you thought you couldn't live without.
Fast from whatever you thought you couldn't live without. I couldn't do without Sandy now. Come on now.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm just things.
Yeah, maybe right. It was coffee in the morning. Maybe it's something you think that you have to have.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of people fasting from caffeine or coffee, things like that. So now again, that's not the biblical idea, but you can incorporate it. There's a lot of freedom to do this, and you might need to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's to bring your physical under the authority of mm-hmm. your spirit.
Mm-hmm. We're going to cover a lot of that, a lot of those reasons you're talking about right there. We'll get to that question. I hope so. If we don't, bring it back up to me. All right. So since the spiritual disciplines are a personal act of worship, there's freedom for you to choose how you're going to do it. You choose yourself. All right. And be spirit led in your devotion to God, because God may provoke you like you're talking about. God may provoke you, say, hey, you need to cut back on this, or you need to stop this, or you need to do X, Y, Z, whatever. And the Spirit will tell you. All right. So here's an interesting note. It's not a biblical idea, but it's just in our English language. Our word breakfast comes from the idea of breaking the fast. It's the first meal after the night of fasting. So it's just kind of interesting note there about breakfast. All right, so now, let's get into some of these reasons. All right, why do we fast? What's some of the reasons? And you'll see some of the benefits that are wrapped into these ideas. Okay, these ideas and these reasons. Fasting is about spiritual hunger to experience the nearness of God. It's kind of interesting. Fasting is about spiritual hunger. Okay. We tend to associate it with physical hunger, but it's about a spiritual hunger. And to experience the nearness of God's presence on a personal level. One of my favorite worship songs is by Shane and Shane. And it says, "Be near, O God. Be near, O God." It's one of my favorites. I listen to it all the time. "Be near, O God. Your nearness is to me my good." So, and I want you to experience the nearness of God. It's just not enough for us to go to church and do some of the rituals and things that we do that are all good. You know, you've got to experience the nearness of God's presence in your life. And you need to make way for that and do whatever you need to do. And the fasting is not the only way, but it's one way to get you kind of in that mode, right? Okay. Fasting is an act of worship and devotion to God. These two kind of go together. It's an act of worship. You are in an act of worship when you fast properly. Let's say it like that. When you fast properly. It's the idea of drawing close to God by intensifying. It's great intensity and it's great intention as well over a period of time. And I would recommend that you do what you can, do what you got to do. But like if you decide you're going to fast one day, make a commitment yourself. May want to write it down somewhere. May want to write it on your mirror. Fasting Wednesday, whatever. Fasting Thursday, whatever. And you hold yourself to it as best you can. Now, I have made the mistake of, you know, I'm in the middle of a fast and I walk past the counter and there's a potato chip sitting right there. I go, oh, man, my goodness. Anybody ever done that? there's no condemnation in all this kind of stuff. And if let's say if sometimes you can have reactions to fasting, physical reactions, you know, headaches and nausea and hunger pains and all kinds. You can have all kinds of reactions depending. And sometimes you might have to break the fast. It's not a point of condemnation. I don't want you to go there. But you still need to press yourself into a point of discipline. Okay? Everybody clear on that? Does that make sense to you? You got to help me think through this, all this stuff now. And while you're fasting, incorporate prayer and scripture time. More. Okay? That's the whole purpose, is we're taking something physical and we're replacing it with something spiritual. That's the idea. And this idea of it's an act of worship and devotion. You remember Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said to present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. There's a lot of ways we do that. Worship, and when we lift our hands and we sing our songs to God, all of those kind of things. But fasting is another way to where we present our bodies. Our body, it actually is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body. Not just your spirit, man. Your body is part of God's plan for you. To carry out the ministry you've got and the life he's given you and all the kingdom work he's got for you. And you've got to learn to give your body to God. And in fasting, you do that like to the height. Right? All right. So find a way. And say that to him. Say that to him. Say, Lord, I come to you. I'm going to take today and I'm going to present myself and my body to you. I belong to you. And as an act of worship, I'm going to give this time to you. And if you need to do anything in me, do it. Do it. Learn to do that. Learn to do that on a personal level. And you may not even let anybody know. It's really between you and him. Right? All right. Let's keep tracking here. All right, so now let's see here. This is some really good stuff right here. Jesus says in one of his temptations in Matthew chapter 4, this is verse number 4 of chapter 4. Jesus said this, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, fasting is a reminder that, hey, my life is not just about... See, the pagan motto is this. You've probably heard it before. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the pagan motto. Seriously, I mean, it's quoted in Scripture, actually. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Or here's the modern day version of that. You only live once. Or get all the gusto you can. That kind of idea. And fasting is like a pushback against all of that worldliness and all that worldly philosophy and all that thing that we get ourselves caught up into. And we are reminding ourselves that I don't just live off of biscuits and gravy, as good as they are. I don't just live off of meat and potatoes, as good as they are. Here's the truth. Most of the world just lives on that kind of bread. Most of the church world just lives on that, and they don't know the difference of living on anything else except what they can get down at the huddle house or something, or in the refrigerator. And I'm reminding myself by prayer and fasting, I'm reminding myself, in scripture reading, I'm reminding myself that I don't just live off of eggs and grits and sausage and bacon. Does that make sense to you? Sandy fed you already now. Ain't that something? Something wrong with that. I fed you before we talked about fasting. Isn't that something? That's something wrong. We probably should have had a sign on the door that said, get your Bibles. Should have just had a stack of Bibles where the spaghetti was. Uh-huh. Now listen to what Jesus says right here to the disciples. Okay, this is the story about the woman at the well. You know, all that encounter. And this is kind of towards the end of it. And they come back to Jesus and they're trying to get him to eat something. He said, I don't want anything to eat. And this is what he says, John 4:32. Jesus said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And I see this is what fasting reminds me of, that there is a bread from heaven that's better than the bread from earth. Okay? And Jesus lived off of that bread. Now he ate. We catch him at a campfire cooking some fish for breakfast for Peter. He ate like everybody else, physical food. But he lived off of the bread from heaven. That was his life source. You know, I want to know what that is that Jesus lived off of. So here's the idea. Fasting is kind of like me unplugging from this world so that I can more intensely and intentionally plug into his world. Now, I'm always plugged in on some level. You don't ever want to unplug. That's backsliding, going in the wrong direction. Some people do that. I've done that. You don't want to go that direction. We don't ever come unplugged, but we just plug in more intentionally and more intensely. Right? And we learn to eat from a different table. Right? Just try it out. I want to know what he's talking about right there. I want to live in it. So fasting can also be a part of an act of repentance before God. You see that from time to time where somebody may be doing it to break a habit or to break a sinful addiction or something. Of course, all sin has an addictive quality to it. But fasting can be an act of repentance to God. Like, I'm ready to change. And I'm going to show you how serious I am about this change. I am going to starve myself until I need to, so to speak, you know. Fasting can be done during a time of grief. Now, these are in no certain kind of order, just depending on how you need it. They're not in order of importance. Fasting can be done during a time of grief. And for these two situations, the repentance and the grief part, sometimes in the Bible you see people fasting in sackcloth and ashes. You see that phrase? In the sackcloth and ashes? And that may be somebody that's repenting before God. And we see other people maybe grieving. And they put on sackcloth. Basically what they do is they take off all their nice clothes and just put on a potato sack or something raggedy. And they would sprinkle ashes on their head as a sign of grief. They still do these kind of things in the Eastern culture, right? I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying it's in the Bible, okay? It's a symbolic thing. It's a symbolic thing. It's like a stripping away of yourself and all the fineries. It's to strip yourself away, and the ashes are symbol of grief and loss, you know, especially in the sense of grief. Sometimes they would rip their garments, tear them, kind of thing, you know. I'm not saying that those are just practices. You'll see it as you read through the scripture. Somebody will do that. Job did that. He found himself sackcloth and ashes before the Lord. All right. And why would people do these demonstrative things like you're talking about? Why would they do these demonstrative things? I mean, because fasting is like a physical thing. It's an abstinence type thing, but it is a concrete physical thing. And it's an outward expression of what's going on the inside of somebody, right? And sometimes we need that kind of thing. You ever thought about why did Jesus give us communion with the cup and the bread? Why do we have that physical thing to hold in our hands? Why do we have that? Because, I mean, we could just remember him. We could just pray. Well, because we're human beings. We're not just all spirit, you know? So he gives us these physical things. We do it together. Maybe do it in a small group or with your family, or you can do it by yourself as well. But we do it, and it's that physical contact type thing. It's bringing God and our worship into reality. You understand what I'm talking about with that? That we're not just sitting on the floor humming in B flat, trying to get in touch with the spirit of the universe. That's not biblical worship or devotion or anything like that. That's something pagan, actually. You know? And not to disparage those folks. They're being very sincere, but it's just not going to get them where they want to be. You know? So what God does, he brings body, soul, and spirit all together. You know? All right. A few more reasons here. Fasting is a way to humble yourself before God. Again, we've mentioned this already in the James 4 passage. It's a way to humble yourself. See, it says to humble yourself before God. How do I humble myself before God? Well, fasting is just one way. What's some other ways I can humble? I literally can humble myself before. How can I do that? How? What's some other ways? To be quiet. What else? I mean, there's some real, you know these things. Come on, tell me. Kneel. You kneel. You know, what are you doing when you kneel? You're humbling yourself before God. What are you doing when you fast? Well, you're humbling yourself before God. I think I put a note here. You intentionally put yourself last and God first in fasting. I mean, you literally are putting your most basic human need to live. You put it last so that God can be put first. And he honors that now. When it's done with a sincere heart, done properly, not to be seen by people, Jesus said. We're not trying to impress anybody with our spiritual activities. But when we do it properly, Jesus said, God will reward what you're doing in secret. God will reward it openly, he says. Yes, sir.
With that, what you just said in mind, that's why I asked about the sackcloth and the ashes. Why are you doing that if you're not supposed to let people know you're doing that?
Yeah. And they may be doing it in private. We just have it publicly written, you know, that kind of deal. Because I would recommend if you got sackcloth and ashes going out in public, you know, that kind of thing. Although you go to Walmart and you might see somebody like that. Anyway. Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say if it was like a king may do it for the purpose of leading his people in the right direction. And if he does it with the right heart, even though it may be done publicly, he can help. I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm telling you I'm fasting. I'm not trying to lose my reward. I'm just trying to say I'm doing this, follow me in it. And there's a big difference in me doing that to say, hey, I'm going to do this with you. Let's do it together. And there's a strength in together. Where if I'm doing it so that, ooh, my pastor, boy, he's strong.
There's a difference, too, between telling people you're doing it and boasting about
doing it. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point. There's a difference in telling people. And, I mean, you need to be as quiet as you can about it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you may have to, somebody's pressing you, come on, let's go eat. No, I don't want to. Oh, well, come on, man, I can't. I tell you what, I'm not going to eat today. I'm fasting. And sometimes you have to say those kind of things just to cut somebody off. But did I lose my reward when I did that?
No.
Not necessarily. No. You just communicated a point. Now, if you're bragging, somebody said, man, you know what I did last week? I fasted 3 days. Well, whatever that guy looks at you and says, man, that's pretty impressive. That's all you're going to get out of that fast. You see what I'm talking about? So, anywho, you put yourself last and put God first in fasting. That's how you humble yourself. And prayer and fasting go together now. You almost always see it together in Scripture. All right, we're coming closer to the end here. Fasting is a way to deny yourself. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must first, this is the part we leave out. You must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Okay, now how do you do that? Well, there's all kinds of ways you do it, but fasting is one of those ways. In our walk, now this is not just our initial commitment. It may be your initial commitment to Christ. But for us who are Christ's followers, it's a part of our commitment, our ongoing commitment, that we have to continually deny ourselves. And that may be some of what you're talking about, that you, just the practices you were dealing with about whatever you really, really like. Take some time off from that. Cut that off for a season. And I promise you think you don't have a problem with something? You stop drinking coffee for 3 days and see what happens to you.
We did something one time where it was every time you picked up your phone, pray instead of going to whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's interesting little discipline. It's another kind of spiritual practice. It's not a scriptural thing, but it could be a practice that you do. It could benefit you. So this idea about denying yourself, just find out what you like. In fact, if you don't think you, talk about cell phones, you don't think you have a problem with your cell phone, become aware of it to where you'd like leave it somewhere and put it aside and then see what kind of withdrawals we have. Now, not everybody's tied to it, but most everybody is, especially anybody under 40. You know?
Some over 40.
Some over 40, yeah, that's right. But, you know, I'm just saying, just any way to deny yourself. Now, we're not talking about being some kind of morbid type, sadistic kind of person. We're not talking about that kind of idea at all. But you know good and well that there are parts of you that need to come under discipline. Sometimes it's this right here, this little tongue thing right here. We were talking about silence earlier. That would be really good practice for a lot of people. Fasting, cover your mouth. Lord Jesus. Now this, we done gone into another sermon. That's not even what we're talking about. All right, so deny yourself your most basic needs is what fasting is. And it's a way to, Paul talked about crucifying your flesh. And everybody's got flesh. And sometimes that flesh, that fleshly part of us, which is that unrenewed part of us, that's not wanting to come underneath the lordship of Jesus. Every believer still has that and has to combat that. And crucifying that flesh is what Paul says that he has to do daily. There's other ways to do it, but fasting is one of those ways. Crucify your flesh so that my inner man can be strong. It's this idea of self-control and bringing myself under the control of the Holy Spirit, underneath the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you may want to add Holy Communion on a personal level. Let me tell you about a practice I did one time. It was probably one of the most intense times that I had. But a buddy of mine had a cabin up in the North Georgia mountains. And he let me go stay there when I wanted to, just for like my own spiritual retreat. Sometimes we had leadership retreats up there and things like that. But I would go personally to that cabin from time to time. One time in particular, what I did was I took a bunch of crackers and a bunch of grape juice. And I poured that grape juice in my cup and I sat there with them crackers. And I just was reading through the Gospels in a couple days. When something hit my spirit, I just took communion over it. I probably did that probably, I don't know, 100 times in a couple-day period. I just had
it was just a different way. That's not the kind of communion we do here with each other, but it was something that I just purposefully did for myself.
Supping with the Father.
And it was a very powerful thing for me. I need to do it again. I was thinking through it when I was putting all this together. I thought, man, I need to do that again. Just me and him. So, I don't know. It's just something you may want to add to all that. Now, can help bring clarity, clarity of thought to discern God's will for making a decision, to sharpen your spiritual ear, to hear what the Spirit might share with you. Fasting is a way to cut out distractions, and it's also sometimes a way to cut out the brain fog that we get into. I don't know, it can be one of the benefits. It may not be the initial benefit. You may actually have more brain fog initially. But if you get into an extended, maybe a day or two fast, you'll find out that your mind begins to clear up a little bit. Especially if you're used to eating a bunch of junk food and sweets and things like that, you have no idea how much all of that chemicals and all that sugar affects your brain and affects your ability to even hear God. It really does. So, Acts 13, 1 and 2, let's look at what happened in the early church. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That's an interesting statement right there about his life. And Saul, which we know him as the Apostle Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, okay, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Spirit said, and they were able to hear. And the reason fasted is highlighted is fasting was a part of that. It enabled them a little bit better, to hear a little bit better. Now think about that phrase right there too now. Because many Christians don't know anything about this idea. As they minister to the Lord. You think about ministry to you and coming to church and getting what blessing you need. Have you ever thought about the idea of worship being a ministry to God? If you're on the praise team, we talk about that kind of thing. But if you're not on the praise team, you may be kind of disconnected from that idea. But our primary focus and purpose when we come together and worship is not just to get what we need. That's going to happen, hopefully. But it's to minister to the Lord. What if we come in here with that idea that, hey, I'm here to worship. That's the idea of worship, what it is. But I like the way it's phrased. They ministered. They came in together, and their focus was on him. I leave the worship gathering sometimes, and I say, Lord, how'd you like that? You'll know some of the responses I get? You may not. And he never talks about the quality of things. He talks about the state of the heart. And sometimes I get a lot of correction in that, and I need it, you know. Fasting can be preparation for going into something new. That's what Jesus does in Matthew 4 as he's entering into his ministry. You know, we go from the baptism, he goes into the temptation in the wilderness, and that's when he fasts for those 40 days. And Jesus himself did this to prepare himself, to dedicate himself, consecrate himself. Preparing your heart to pass the test. That's what Jesus was preparing to pass that test.
One of Jesus' hardest challenges was his first challenge was leaving. That was right after the 40 day fast.
Mm-hmm.
He was a strong demon.
Mm-hmm. And he had to be prepared for that. And, you know, fasting was a part of that preparation. Now, here's the interesting thing, because the text highlights, it says, and Jesus was hungry and the enemy tempted him. And it says, it's telling us Jesus was physically hungry, but spiritually he was stronger than he'd ever been in his entire life on earth. It's just an interesting thought. All right. Jesus also talked about fasting for the need for more spiritual power in order to be effective in ministry. We talked about this not too long ago. Matthew 17:21, it says, however, this kind does not go out but by prayer and fasting. Remember, it's a response to a question. Why couldn't we cast it out? The disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we take care of that problem with that boy? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus answered and said, because of your unbelief. And just know this, that these kind, that there is a stronger spirit. There's stronger problems that people have that cannot come out unless somebody is praying and fasting about it. And now, does that mean that the rituals will help you get stronger? No, because in prayer and fasting, you draw closer to God. Because technically, see, the power is not in the fasting. The power is what happens between you and God because you fast. Does that make sense to you? And the fasting, I mean, the prayer, the power is not in the prayer, actually. The power is in the God that you're talking to. And we call that prayer. I just want you to see that. Right? So we need stronger faith to drive out unbelief. And Jesus said that comes through prayer and fasting. All right. So now, let's see. Really don't have time to deal with too much of this, but let me just put this seed in you here. This is one thing, just going through this, the Holy Spirit just brought this to my mind. Fasting helps build up your spiritual immune system. Sounds kind of weird way to say it. But, you know, we physically, in our bodies, we have an immune system. And I kind of got this just thinking through. I've had this sickness over me the last week or two. And I don't do sickness. I can count on my one hand how many times in my whole life I've been sick, you know. So, and it bothered me. I don't like being sick. I'm usually a pretty good, strong guy and keep going no matter what. But something was down in my immune system and something got through and got me. Then I got to think about spiritually. Think of sin like a virus looking for a weak spot. Sin's looking for a weak spot in you or maybe in our church family or community. Sin's looking for a weak spot. And you think of the various forms that sin takes on and how that sin is trying to infect us to whatever, to make us sick spiritually in some kind of way. All the different kinds of physical or spiritual sickness, like the lustful temptations that we all deal with, gossip, hatred, anger, being judgmental towards other people. It's like this virus, and if you don't have a strong spiritual immune system, that virus of being judgmental and critical towards somebody, guess what it'll do? It'll find an opening and boom, it'll lodge in your heart. And guess what? Somebody will come to you and start talking about somebody, and you'll join right in. And next thing you know, y'all done nailed that girl, and you have been infected with the spiritual virus. It can happen with bitterness. It can happen with unforgiveness. And that spiritual virus comes in because your spiritual immunities were low for whatever reason. You see, and you could put anything in that list. So fasting, when done properly, helps us be stronger. We draw close to God and helps us become more like Jesus. And the sins that come our way and the people that come our way and the things that the enemy wants to bring and bring us down, we resist it. We fight it off. That's what we want to be, right? But you think about somebody right now. You know somebody right now has got a spiritual sickness. You know somebody like that. All right. I think we're about done. Let me just read this and we'll close it. You'll see that last slide, we won't get to that one really. The warnings about fasting, about guarding it against things. Jesus said guard against pride and all the arrogance that comes with that kind of thing if you're not careful.
Can I just add Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 16 through 18 right quick?
Yeah, what you got?
About fasting. It says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Mm-hmm. For they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will be not obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret
Lord, you, oh, amen. In verse 20 and 21, he talks about laying up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. So fasting is one way we can do that, right? All right, let me read this and we'll close. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious to get out there. It's too cold out there. Y'all won't stay in here, right? Sorry. Now look at this. This is some of the benefits that fasting, when done properly, and drawing close to God, when done properly, can give us. Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Look at the benefits right here. This is what I want to do. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Man, who don't want some of that? And who doesn't know somebody that needs some of that? He's talking about fasting again. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see them naked, that you cover them, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. So that's something about character change right there. That fasting, when done properly, and you draw close to God, you become a more generous person in all ways and possibilities. All right? We want some of that, don't we? All right? All right. Let's pray. There's lots more we could talk about in this idea, but I think you get it, right? Lord, help us. Help us. Lord, forgive us where we failed in these areas, maybe with pride or legalism or something of that nature. And Holy Spirit, continue to teach us. Continue to train us in all of this. We want to be fully devoted followers of you, Lord, in every way possible. And I pray that you would help us, Lord. And it might be a real challenge for us to step into these waters about fasting. But, Lord, I pray we would receive the challenge from your Spirit to stretch ourselves, to stretch past the norm and just an everyday activity of what the routine usually is, that we'd take ourselves out of that for the sake of drawing close to you and hearing your voice and knowing the nearness of your Spirit. Pray you'd help us and you'd bless us in these things, God. You'd bless us in these things. We do want to know you with all of our heart. We want to know you and love you with all of our heart. We want to experience you in ways that we've never done it before. And we thank you. We need this kind of power in ministry to break these yokes and these things and these bondages, maybe even over our own lives, but certainly over the lives of the people that we love and the people that are close to us. We need that kind of power, Lord. I just pray that we'd be the kind of people that would walk worthy of it. Help us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.